This is a podcast from CFR.org, the website of the Council on Foreign Relations.
This is Stephanie Hansen for CFR.org. Under the repressive governance of President Robert Mugabe, Zimbabwe resembles a country at war. Most of the population is unemployed, official inflation is the highest in the world, and there are shortages of food, electricity, water, and oil. I'm on the phone with Peta Thornycroft, a Zimbabwean and foreign correspondent for The Telegraph in Zimbabwe. Peta, what is daily life in Zimbabwe like? How are people getting by with all of these shortages?
Every day is a new journey of what you're looking for that day. And the things that you're looking for or having to do without are, in urban areas, electricity, running water, sewage, enough money to buy what you need, enough money to budget if you suddenly see sugar. Sugar is the most constantly short grocery in Zimbabwe. So if it does come onto the market, you need to get enough money to stockpile it. The people in the rural areas are probably at present, excepting in the south of the country, doing a bit better than people in the urban areas because they've managed to grow something. But each day is just a grinding experience for the would-be working class or the working class of getting through that day.
From the perspective of the outside world, it's really surprising that there's not a stronger opposition movement in Zimbabwe. I recently read on your blog that there has been what looks like a small revival in the opposition. Can you tell me what you think the prospects are for a sustained opposition in Zimbabwe?
I think there are virtually no chances of a sustained opposition in Zimbabwe. The main opposition party, the Movement for Democratic Change, split into two factions in October 2005. It was a very young party. I mean, it was only formed in September 2002. But it is impossible to participate in elections in Zimbabwe and expect a free and fair poll because ZANU-PF, the ruling ZANU-PF, runs such a crooked show, and there is no way to resist that. I see no chance of the opposition actually prevailing in Zimbabwe. However, there is opposition to Mugabe from within his own party now. So many of his faithful supporters over decades are themselves struggling for money. Many of them now recognize that he's become a liability to them.
And what possibilities do you see for change in the foreseeable future, I guess, from within the party?
The economy is the opposition in Zimbabwe. With inflation officially at 1,600%, but probably grocery inflation somewhere over 3,000%, and it's unique. We don't know where to look at and see what happens in those circumstances. It was different in Zaire when Mobutu was in power. It was different in Argentina. It is an extraordinary experience to deal with that kind of inflation. And somewhere in the middle to the end of April, the Zimbabwe dollar then becomes worthless at the present rate of inflation. I don't know what happens then. Will the banks shut? Will the shops shut? The government doesn't know. Certainly President Mugabe, who has very little understanding of the economy, he doesn't know. And I defy anyone who can predict how the people will react, because Zimbabweans are extremely self-controlled people. And it is still, for example, much safer in Harare than it is in Johannesburg.
South Africa must be getting fairly nervous as the situation deteriorates in Zimbabwe, because with the economy so bad and very little opposition movement, it seems that one of the only outlets is just to leave. Is South Africa attempting to address the refugee situation in any way? I know that they're sending back thousands of people across the border every month.
If they are unnerved about it, they're not showing it. South Africa's having an unprecedented boom at the moment. The economy is just roaring ahead. And the South Africans' main preoccupation in its foreign affairs has been Democratic Republic of Congo. Maybe they're going to have more time and energy to deal with Zimbabwe this year, but you're not going to see South Africa standing up and shouting at Zimbabwe, because they don't know what to do any more than the West knows what to do about Mugabe. Zimbabweans have to do it. I think we've got to a stage now where South Africa is hoping that, as they've hoped for a long time, that ZANU-PF will turn on its own and find a solution. And I suspect if there is a solution, that is where the solution will come from. In the framework of the NEPAD initiative in Africa, South Africans seem to have analyze that anything is worse than violence or civil unrest. And I think that has sprung from their own experiences as a liberation movement, and of course, more recently, what they've seen in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where there is nothing left of that country. Harare still remains amongst the top five cities in Africa in terms of how it works, cleanliness, efficiency. It's appalling to Zimbabweans because they can compare it with what it was. But in an African context, Harare is paradise.
I've just been speaking with Peta Thornycroft, the Telegraph's correspondent in Zimbabwe. For CFR.org, I'm Stephanie Hansen.
Thank you for listening to this Council on Foreign Relations podcast. For additional expert analysis of international news in audio, video, and text, as well as a full menu of RSS feeds, please visit us online at cfr.org.